We're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. For feedback, by the way, our email address is ccrecap@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Send us a line. Well, Michigan's recent heat wave in early July led to heat-related emergency department visits to increase by 89% from the previous 10-day period. That's 734 ER visits versus 389 visits before that. Dr. Dean Sanko is the interim chief medical executive for the Michigan Department of Community Health, and he joins us now to talk about what you should be on the lookout for. Dean, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome, Michael. Great to be here.
So I'm guessing if you're going to the emergency room, things have gotten quite bad. I mean, are there points along the way where someone should be able to identify that I need to get some liquid in my body or I'm going to end up in the ER?
Well, I think, you know, you just got to push the fluids on heat days like we've been having. And you can't wait. If you find that the color of your urine is not a light color, if it looks concentrated, that means you're getting dehydrated. And the fact is, by the time you're thirsty, you're probably about 2 liters down in fluids. So it's very important that you just keep the fluids up, and you can tell by the frequency of urination. You can see it, the color of the urination, all those things are indicators whether you're well hydrated or not.
What about the way you feel? I mean, are you going to actually begin to feel a certain way when you're in trouble?
Well, people feel different ways. I mean, some people get headaches. Some people feel sick to their stomach. There are any number of ways, and some of that is kind of nonspecific, doesn't necessarily mean it's heat, but it well could be. And certainly it gets dangerous when people aren't thinking clearly, when they appear to be confused. Those can be medical emergencies. When they're warm to the touch, you need to get them into an emergency room right away.
Can't you just quickly start drinking a lot of water and maybe sit in a bathtub with cold water?
Well, you can if it's a mild case. I mean, you can get cool cloths and things and try to give the person something to drink. But certainly if they don't know who they are, if they're incoherent, and if they feel real hot to touch, that's a medical emergency, and you shouldn't waste time with that. Get them into an emergency room.
Now, when it comes to getting into the ER, what is it that happens there? In most cases, it sounds like these are not deadly incidents.
Yeah, fortunately, I'm not aware of any deaths that we've had. So, I mean, that's a good thing. People are feeling ill, and they feel sick enough that they go to the emergency room or they call 911 and have paramedics come out and take a look at them. But it's those kind of general, nonspecific symptoms that they're having. They have a headache. They don't feel well. They feel nauseous. They may feel sick in the stomach. They're not breathing well. All these things can be indicators that you're in some distress, and certainly it would be appropriate to seek some medical attention, talk to someone over the telephone, or actually go in and see somebody if it's severe enough.
I mean, are some people more susceptible to this? Certainly if you're at a party and people are drinking or they're outside in the heat, not everyone's going to suffer this way. Are some people, for one reason or another, more susceptible to potentially having a heat stroke?
Yeah, absolutely. Younger children are a particular concern, and older adults at both ends of the age spectrum. People don't sweat as well. Certainly people who are not in good physical condition, who may be severely overweight, are going to be challenged. I mean, heat like this is a cardiovascular stressor. And if you have trouble walking up the stairs and it's 60 degrees, you're going to have that much more trouble walking up the stairs when it's 90 degrees. So it is a cardiovascular stressor. If you're not used to exercising, you need to be careful. You need to adjust your work-rest cycles because of the stress that it puts on your heart.
Now, you get to the hospital. What are they going to do to you?
Well, I mean, they're going to initially evaluate you, but the principal form of therapy is fluids. They'll start some IVs and hope that you come around with that. And that's probably what they did in the vast majority of these cases where the person said they just aren't feeling well. It's diagnosed as heat-related. They'll pump them with fluids and see how they're doing. The other thing that's important is people need to, in addition to pushing fluids, they need to eat well. I mean, you can't go without breakfast and lunch on these hot days. even if you're drinking fluids, that can get you into troubles too, because you need the minerals and you need the other things that you get from food consumption in addition to fluid management.
I mean, are things like some of these drinks that have electrolytes, Gatorade, things like that, are they actually more beneficial to drink during these hot temperatures than water?
Well, they add some things. Water is generally a very good beverage to take, but again, that's why it's important to also add diet into this. So make sure people have a good breakfast, eat a good lunch, etc., so they get those minerals and those electrolytes that can help keep them out of trouble.
And with children, I mean, how does that work? Because typically they're not going to want to sit there and drink one glass after another. Do you just recommend giving them juice, that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, juice is good on days like this. Again, water is an excellent drink. And the other thing is get out of the heat. I mean, you should not have kids outdoors for long periods of time in excessive heat like this. They need to come in. They need to get in under air conditioning if you have it. If not, you know, give them a cool bath or a shower or something to cool them off, make sure they don't get too hot, and again, especially in the younger age groups.
Let's see. Now, the temperatures we're having now, though, we're back in the normal range. We typically then, even if you're looking at numbers like 300 and change or even 700 and change, that's a pretty small number of ER visits, I'm guessing, for statewide numbers, right?
Right. Well, I mean, we want to keep people out of the emergency room. We want to certainly prevent any deaths that can happen, and that can happen when the weather gets as hot as it is. And so it's just good in the summertime when we have these high heat days that people take appropriate precautions.
Dr. Dean Sanko, the Interim Chief Medical Executive for the Michigan Department of Community Health. Dr. Sanko, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Michael, my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, when we come back, we're going to get into two interesting areas. One is older Americans and their foreclosure issues. Over the last couple of days, we've talked about many of the challenges older Americans are facing, specifically when it comes to retiring. Many are now considering or having to consider delaying retirement dramatically. And on top of that, they're having issues finding jobs. Americans 50 and older are more likely to be long-term unemployed. And now throw into that mix the foreclosure problem. When older Americans lose their home, what do they do? What are their options? And what is the prospect moving ahead over the next couple of years? I will be joined by an official from AARP Michigan to break that all down. And then we're going to talk about an issue that, well, hopefully is going to be relevant to many of you, which is jobs that actually are looking for people to fill them. We hear so much about people that are unemployed, can't find a job. Well, here are jobs that are out there hoping that you come and land on them. They're recently released the top 10 talent shortage survey released by Manpower Groups. We'll find out what those jobs are. I'll be joined by a hiring expert who will advise us on how you can go about developing the skills. Is it worth going back to school, maybe taking on some debt to pursue some of these positions? I can tell you the number one job on that list, which I should have in front of me, but I don't. I was going to prep it with that, which is a skilled trade, which to me is fascinating because of the fact that there are so many positions now, people that have worked in skilled trades that are looking for work. So we'll find out why that is the number one hardest job to fill. And we'll, of course, go through the rest of the 10 and find out how you can maybe potentially fill them. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen, and you are listening to More Compelling Talk Radio. This is 1320 WILS.